Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Monday Without Latinos edition. Fancy Brian, you're back. Big fella, you're back.
I have returned.
You have returned. I've got Evan with me here in the world headquarters. I got Fancy Brian in the Shaw. And you can always be a part of this big show, the Big Monday edition. Join us on the phones, 844-967-2789. Fancy Brian, I want to mention, I appeared on the Foxy News, and in your absence on Friday, I made a lot of big promises, or at least I took a lot of suggestions from the fine audience on how to burn it down, how to salt the earth and never get invited back on Fox News. You know, and I talked big. I was talking big, big trash. You know, I hear that too, Evan. I'm not sure what that is. But I will tell you the absolute truth. I did not burn it down on Fox News. I'm a little sad at myself. You know, it was like, I'm in the studio. I went to Milwaukee. I was in a Milwaukee studio yesterday. And I told the audience I was going out partying with my college buddies. And I did. Oh, did I ever. Me and Dom and some of our roommates, we went out to a bar on Saturday night. And we watched the Brewers just destroy the Cubs. That was like a 9-1 affair. And we watched the later rounds of the NFL draft, and we enjoyed the conversation. We commiserated. I drank too much. I had, you know, some appetizers. Tried to drink some water throughout the course of the evening. You know, got to hydrate because I had a big Foxy News appearance. And I had sort of big expectations, high aspirations that this was going to be the time where Crudy didn't wuss out, where Crudy made something stunning happened. And I didn't meet that standard, not even for myself. So I'll come back to that. Since it's not earth-shattering, I feel like I've got to lead with the headlines. And we'll come back. We'll tell you what Crudy did say on the Foxy News. But, you know, I saw this headline out there. Here's a scoop according to Axios.com. Mark Esper was the Pentagon chief under Donald Trump. Dismissed from that job after Trump lost the election. But Esper says Trump wanted to shoot protesters. And what? You're like, yeah. You're like, January 6th protesters? Donald Trump? No, not those protesters. The Black Lives Matter protesters. Different sort of protesters, if you know what I'm saying. Mike Allen at the Axios.com. Former Defense Secretary Mark Esper charges in a new memoir out in May that former President Trump said when demonstrators were filling the streets around the White House following the death of George Floyd, can't you just shoot him? Just shoot him in the leg or something. That is the quote from Mark Esper's book. And why it matters. The book, A Sacred Oath, contains vivid first-person revelations by a top cabinet member bolstering outsiders' accounts of extreme dysfunction in the Trump White House. Esper, who had earlier been Secretary of the Army, was fired by Trump after the 2020 election. All the best people were. That moment in the first week of June 2020 was surreal. Sitting in front of the Resolute desk inside the Oval Office with this idea weighing heavily in the air and the president red-faced and complaining loudly about protests underway in Washington, D.C., Esper wrote, "The good news, this wasn't a difficult decision," according to Esper. "The bad news, I had to figure out a way to walk Trump back without creating a mess I was trying to avoid. And behind the curtain, the book was vetted, this new book, vetted at the highest levels of the Pentagon. I'm told that as part of the clearance process, the book was reviewed in part or whole by nearly three dozen four-star generals, senior civilians, and some cabinet members. And some of them had witnessed what Esper witnessed. So he wasn't the only one, apparently, saying that Donald Trump said, "Let's just shoot him. Shoot him." Right? He reportedly bunkered down beneath the White House as well, right?
That was when he was bravely bunkered down behind the under the White House, yeah.
Why can't we just shoot them? Maim them. Shoot them in the leg. Contrast that now. Fancy Brian, if you would. Contrast that with how Donald Trump reportedly acted when the January 6th insurrection was happening. Did he threaten to shoot anyone, maim them a little? Even with birdshot, did he send the Capitol cops out there to shoot any of the, you know, supposed Antifa, the fake Trump people, as they've been described after the fact?
No, he waited a couple hours, and then he actually said basically this.
"I know how you feel, but go home and go home in peace."
With a shotgun in your leg, right?
No, no, no shotgun pellets. No birdshot. No rock salt even. So anyways, Trump had a completely different reaction, reportedly, to, the Black Lives Matter movement. And that should be a shocker. Anybody shocked to learn this news? I mean, I feel like we had already kind of known this news. But now that it's, you know, in a book that's fully vetted by the Pentagon, and the former White House, they had a crack at this book before it published. A little bit more. Context. Esper enraged Trump by publicly stating in June of 2020 that he opposed invoking the Insurrection Act. How dare he show that form of disloyalty? If Trump wants to put in the Insurrection Act and shoot some people in the leg, wasn't that his presidential prerogative? The Insurrection Act is an 1807 law that permits the president to use active duty troops on U.S. soil in order to quell protest against racial injustice. Well, is that what he's doing? Quelling protest against racial injustice? Michael Bender, then with the Wall Street Journal, now with the New York Times, reported last year in his book, "Frankly, We Did Win This Election," that Trump repeatedly called for law enforcement to shoot protesters during heated meetings inside the White House. I knew it wasn't the first time we'd see something like this reported. Fancy Brian, can't the president just have you shot? I mean, isn't that within the presidential powers?
I don't believe so, but I'm pretty sure there's some sort of clause somewhere, and Trump would try and find it if possible. But again, I think he'd get lost.
Well, he did often say, you know, how would he lose support? Hell, he could shoot a guy on Fifth Avenue. He wouldn't lose any voters. That's what he kept claiming. Well, you know, depends on who he shoots on Fifth Avenue, I guess, or, you know, has shot in this case. Anyways, this shouldn't shock any of us, but it is the latest. It is the newest about the former president. Troubling stuff, I would say, but, you know, maybe you sleep just fine at night knowing that this guy wants to be the president again. Here is something interesting, though. The January 6th, we've talked about the fact. And Fancy Brad, I don't know if you know, but we're doing a special event broadcast June 9th, the January 6th committee hearings, the primetime affair. I pledge at least the first big one. We're doing that one. We're broadcasting it, baby. We'll be going primetime live on the airwaves.
Get your popcorn ready.
Oh, yeah. Get your popcorn ready. You know, I've got some thoughts about that. Maybe not quite yet, though. The January 6th committee won a thorough victory over the weekend, though, in a landmark court ruling. I always love seeing the RNC go down. A federal judge has rejected efforts by the Republican National Committee to keep its mass email marketing records from the House Select Committee investigating the deadly January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. So did you catch all that? They can't hide their email list, the sort of things that they were sending off to their supporters or the, let's say, the fundraising pleas. may not be hidden, may not be obscured. You know, I can't say that's First Amendment. Well, apparently the judge says, no, it's not. At least not in this context. The committee is seeking records held by the business software company Salesforce in connection with its work with former President Donald Trump's 2020 re-election campaign to determine if Trump's fundraising emails encouraged the violence of the mob that tried to prevent confirmation of Joe Biden as the duly, elected president on January 6th. The Washington Post described the judge's ruling as a thorough victory for the January 6th committee. U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly of Washington rejected the RNC's claims that it and Trump's campaign information was protected under the First Amendment. Kelly also affirmed the committee's constitutionally granted legislative power to obtain records and found that judges cannot interfere with how lawmakers obtain and use information. And Kelly's ruling late Sunday temporarily blocked Salesforce from releasing any records in the House before Wednesday. So you got to give them a couple more days because the National GOP committee has time to appeal. You know, that's what judges normally do. The RNC sued the committee in early March, seeking to quash the subpoena it had issued to Salesforce on February 23rd. Here's a quote. "It is hard to imagine a more important interest for Congress than to preserve its own ability to carry out specific duties assigned to it under the Constitution," Kelly wrote the 53-page opinion. "To repeat, according to the Select Committee, its investigation and public reporting suggests that claims that the 2020 presidential election was fraudulent or stolen motivated some who participated in the event, the big attack, if you will, and emails sent by the RNC and the Trump campaign used Salesforce platform to spread those claims. One email sent an hour before rioters breached the Capitol lines at the Capitol that they urged supporters to fight back, all caps, under another header stating, this is our last chance, also all caps. Now, you would wonder, are those emails persuasive? Well, that's not for the courts to decide. But Salesforce must release the documents. The January 6th committee is going to start having primetime hearings on June 9th. And we're going to play them out right here for you. Devil Radio. I guarantee it. Come back. More Devils. It's a Day Without Latinos Monday. I'll tell you all about that next.
When people try to sell books, they do all sorts of interesting, exotic things.
Violence and vandalism have absolutely no place in our country and no place in our movement.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Are we doing live radio here, boys? Okay, just checking. So, today is a Day Without Latinos, and technically this is a two-day action going on in the state of Wisconsin, and it's being led by Voces de la Frontera, which is a Latino rights organization here in the state. So May Day, traditionally, every year, they do a Day Without Latinos. Primarily, they do a big march in Milwaukee. And I've been covering these marches going on 5 years or more. And I have seen some tremendous marches, 25,000 or more participants. I mean, when Voces de la Frontera, when they make the call, often enormous numbers of people, they show up. And anyways, I point out this context. I got dragged into a Fox News appearance and I'm sick of whining about it too. I know you've all been sick of hearing me whine about an invitation I accepted, so shut up, Crudy. But I get dragged on Fox News, and, you know, they give me like a dozen topics, and, you know, it's like randomizer. Like, we're not going to tell you. Shake the dice right before you come on. And literally in the last 10 seconds before I come back from commercial break, they said, we're going to talk about the Ohio Senate race. You know, I being from Wisconsin, if you're unaware. And the other thing we are going to discuss, immigration policy. And I'm thinking, that's not even the first time I've been dragged on Fox News to fight about immigration policy. So, you know, I was thinking about this big action that was planned for yesterday in Milwaukee and this big action planned for today at the Wisconsin State Capitol. And I did get up today and I went to the Capitol and I do have some coverage to bring back from that. But Fancy Brian, I think we got to turn to Crudy, not burning it down on Fox News first. And we've got to bring me answering the question regarding immigration. You know, I had like 10 seconds notice. This would be the topic. It's actually the second question I answer. You don't care what I had to say about J.D. Vance. Here is basically the quote. Truly a detestable candidate. I'm glad that Trump endorsed him because it gives the Democrat a better chance of winning in the state of Ohio. So anyways, that was my basic opinion on the Ohio Senate race. But perhaps the more important topic, immigration, and, you know, wouldn't have been my choice, but that's what we're talking about on Foxy News. Here I was, my second response. Cut 41, if you would, Brian.
To the border, what's the potential impact if Title 42 is eventually lifted?
You know, it's interesting. State of Wisconsin, new polling came out this week, Marquette University Law School poll. Credible polling. 64% of the people that live in my state think that there should be amnesty granted in real time. 80% of the people in my state think that immigrants should have a legal path, be it green cards or whatever the case may be. I think the point fentanyl and say, well, Joe Biden's leaving the border open to drugs. I mean, we've been losing the war on drugs since Nixon. So let's not act like this is suddenly something different. If you want to change the outcome on the border, there needs to be some sort of sensible immigration reform. Let's incorporate more. We need more workers. Here are workers coming here willingly. Why are we rejecting them? Let's come together as parties, as a country, and assimilate these people in. Let's be the melting pot. Let's find a place for them.
Now, the co-panelist, and apparently he was a former Trump DHS guy. I don't even know who the guy is. He's better looking than me, I'll readily admit. But, you know, sort of an empty suit. Well, he sort of stuttered. He didn't know quite how to respond. He was making faces at me, I guess. I couldn't see his face, but I hear he was making faces at me. But here was his somewhat befuddled response to Crudy, cut 42.
Matt, you want to give a quick response?
We're a sovereign nation. We have sovereign borders. We should be able to dictate who we let in and under what circumstances. All of the polling that I've seen said this is going to be one of the number one issues for Republican voters and independents. And it's telling that Hispanics are the group that Biden is polling the worst at 24%. Mm. So everyone sees through this. I think people are sick of it. And I think November 8th, people are going to need a lot of support ponies on the other side of the aisle because I don't think it's going to go their way.
All right. Matthew Bassett, Mike Crute, gentlemen, thanks very much. Have a great week.
Whoever Matthew Bassett is. That Mike Crute guy, I know him. Support ponies we're going to need over here, Fancy Brian. I'm going to need more of a support burrow, you know, because we're the Democrats, you know, the jackass party, right?
I mean, I'll be a bony burrow. It's all good for me.
Now, I didn't exactly, you know, say the only two thoughts I had. I had kind of promised the audience I would consider doing something outlandish, burn it down. And the only two things that really came to mind, I wanted to talk about disinformation panels because I had it in my heart of hearts that if they brought up disinformation panels, I was going to call Fox News a disinformation network. And that could get me disinvited, if you know what I'm saying. The other bright idea I had, you know, just in deference to the fact that the producer of the show, you know, starts you out with a topic or two and then puts like 20 on the plate. Here, eat the old 96er. Can you possibly eat all this content and then not know precisely which direction we're going to go to? And I'm thinking, no, I can't do that. I'm going to a bar. I'm drinking with my buddies. I will not do the homework. So, you know what I really could have used, Fancy Brian? I really could have used the Maria Bartiromo treatment. You see the breaking news last week that Bartiromo effectively gave all the answers to all the questions. Here's what I'm going to ask you, and here's what I'd like you to concentrate your answers on. I needed the Maria Bartiromo treatment, or at least I needed to tell the Fox News producer, you know, I wanted the Maria Bartiromo treatment. I just didn't want it to sound like something obscene. You know, I need the Bartiromo backstage. Not all the Fox News viewers might be aware of the fact that typically they feed all the questions and the answers, depending on who the guest might be on a particular show. The former president, he gets the white glove treatment. Crudy get treated like a redheaded stepchild. Come back. More Devil's Advocates, the Day Without Latinos Monday edition.
There's nothing on that plate but gristle and fat.
You know, we'll deal with this tomorrow night.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Had a long weekend, but, you know, I'm going to hang in there. You can hang in there. You can be a part. 844-967-2789. Join this big show. But happening in my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin, today, pretty big action and activist action, especially amongst the Latino population. And the headline at the local paper, the Wisconsin State Journal, at this hour, hundreds of students, East La Follette students, walk out of school for immigrant rights. A little bit from the reporting, and then I've got a little, we'll call it exclusive sound, because I don't think anyone else has played it, at, you know, like 3:40 in the afternoon. Between 150 and 200 students walked out of East High School Monday morning and marched on East Washington to the state capitol building in an effort to draw attention to the lack of access to in-state college tuition and driver's licenses for undocumented folks and their children. Once they reached the capitol building, East students were joined by those from La Follette, as well as students in grade 4 and 5 from Sandberg Elementary's dual language immersion program. And I mean, there were lots of little shavers, lots of little kids. It was actually encouraging. I was encouraged to see the very young kids there. The march was organized by Raza United, a Latino student organization at East, and was part of the Voces de la Frontera's two-day general statewide strike, Days Without Latinxes and Immigrants. Here's a quote. "Immigrants are a big part of our society, but we still get our rights taken away," said East High School student organizer Mary Angeles Acosta. Acosta said she hoped that student absences would draw attention of lawmakers to the lack of access to driver's licenses and in-state tuition for college and university faced by undocumented folks and their children in Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin passed a law in 2006 that barred undocumented immigrants and people who do not have a social security number from obtaining driver's licenses or state identification. The law went into effect in 07. That's a long time for a bad law to be on the books. Students who did make this march today, this afternoon in Madison, I guess it was morning, students marching from East High School to the state capitol slowed traffic for a time on East Washington Avenue on Monday morning, authorities reported. The traffic was cleared by about 11 a.m. That's about when I met them at the state capitol. Pete Johnson of the Dane County 911 Center earlier told the State Journal that there is no official road closure, but I'm sure it slowed down to about 1 mile per hour. Now, I've seen these marches. East High School is right down the road from the state capitol. And when these kids want to march, you know, basically the traffic stops and they shut down the road and they march up to the Capitol. And I would say it wasn't, I've seen some tremendously large crowds led by Christine Newman Ortiz and Voces de la Frontera. I've seen 25,000 marching through the city of Milwaukee prior. But today I would say this action, maybe more like 1,000 people tops at the Capitol. A lot of kids, a lot of young people, very, very engaged audience. And they were joined there. I saw the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin, a recent guest, Ben Wickler. He was down there. And I saw the lieutenant governor of the great state of Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes. Now, Mandela was the first person after Christine Newman Ortiz to speak effectively to this crowd of young people. And lots of selfies taken. You know, a lot of kids wanted to take pictures. with the lieutenant governor, who, oh yeah, also happens to be running for the U.S. Senate. But we've got some sound. I'm going to call this Crudy exclusive. I pulled the sound off amplified sound at the Capitol Rotunda. So I'm making my apologies in advance. We are probably the only ones that would dare to use sound of this quality on broadcast, but we're doing it now. We're doing it now. If you would, please play Mandela Barnes. There's sort of a hello clip when he's introduced. I believe that's cut 45. And then there's sort of a goodbye clip as the lieutenant governor, as my pal Mandela Barnes was speaking. There would be long pauses and there'd be translation because so many of the people in the crowd were Spanish speaking. But anyways, let's hear cut one, or 45 as the case may be, from Mandela Barnes.
The governor, myself, and our entire administration, we stand strong with you all in this fight. Together, only together, we can and will make a difference in our state, in our country. We will make this a place where everyone has the opportunity and they deserve.
So, technically, I think I laid those out not in sequential order and not with a consistent microphone. The Lieutenant Governor, Mandela Barnes, came up to the podium, and they were having some sound amplification issues. I know how they feel. So, anyways, they started with like a handheld, a blowhorn, and that is how Mandela was actually introduced to this big crowd of young people and Latinos. But let's play cut number 46. See if you can tell the difference between the amplification. They're deciding how to amplify his voice. Like,
all right, I want to thank you so much, everybody, for being here. What a crowd we got today. Let's hear about this next round. First, thank Christine for the wonderful introduction. I want to thank you for the energy. I want to thank you for setting the stage and letting everybody know what's important and why we're here.
Primero que todo, quiero agradecerle a todos los que están aquí por el gran trabajo que están acá.
And it went on like that. Mandela gave a nice speech. I felt it was something of a political speech, but it was nice to hear his support and the governor's support, you know, by extension through the lieutenant governor, for this action today. And the two big issues, again, affordable college tuition for those that grew up. A lot of these kids grew up in the state of Wisconsin, effectively, and their parents don't have illegal immigration status, so they become ineligible for in-state tuition. So they're punished like they're somehow overseas students, even though they, like I, may have lived in their community their entire lives. And the other big issue is the legal ability to have a identification so you can go cash your check, so you can perhaps drive a car legally, right? So there's some proof of competency, because it's not like they're not out there driving on the streets with or without the legal status. But if you don't have a legal status, you cannot properly insure. You know, it's a snowballing effect. So then you have people whose only crime is that they don't have a legal immigration status that can get hauled to jail or deported for a fender bender because they're not legal to drive in the state of Wisconsin. They cannot insure themselves properly under state law because here in the state of Wisconsin, we've decided, you know, they can't have driver's licenses like the rest of us. So this, yes, sir.
I was going to say, I worked with a guy at the bar in Chicago. It was easier for him, he explained to me, it was easier for him to pretend to be somebody else and have a fake identification and then build everything from there than it was to go through the process legally. And he was just doing that so he could buy a house and pay taxes as well.
It
was easier for him to fake it, is what I'm saying.
You know, I've got a friend, although I don't know if he'd still consider me a friend, but we had been friends for some number of years. And he was let's just say he worked in the cleaning industry. He employed a lot of cleaners. And this particular person told me, you know, they would file the taxes on behalf of their employees. And they would realize that the Social Security numbers given at some point, you figure it out, they're not valid. You know, there's no person registered at that Social Security number, or there's multiple people registered at that Social Security number. And the taxes that these people are paying, you know, we hear that all the time. They come here and they take from the system and they don't pay any taxes. No, not true. They just don't get the benefit of the taxes that they're paying in many cases because they're working under an assumed identity, or the taxes are being applied to somebody else's Social Security number. But effectively, there's a lot of hardworking people living amongst us that don't get the benefits of citizenship or and all that comes with that. So when I find myself, you know, sort of painted in a corner on Fox News, and I want to blow it up, I really do, Fancy Brian. I wanted to, you know, be that guy that just said, F you, Fox News, I'm burning it down. You know, I wanted to be that guy. Without being obscene, I promised the audience I wouldn't lose my welcome back just for being obscene or profane. You know, that's a weak man's way of getting kicked out of someplace. But, you know, I didn't have the crafty comeback, at least not on the topic of immigrant populations. Because I am befuddled to understand why it is that Fox News wants to run this issue up the flagpole each and every time. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised by this because, of course, this engages the base on Fox News. If you understand that there is a certain percentage of the population that sort of have these, let's call it white nationalistic tendencies, right? And they're getting what they want over on Fox News. They're getting it from Tucker. They're getting it from Hannity. And what are they getting? They're getting a lot of be afraid of the brown and the black people. You know, they're the ones that are out to get you. And this sort of fear is being ginned up show after show after show after show. And they try to play that, you know, this immigration issue. And, you know, quite frankly, other than my friends with Voces de la Frontera, I can't remember the last time somebody brought immigration up to me, other than maybe CJ or Fox News. You know, with the problems we have currently in this world, with the attacks on democracy, with the battles going on in Ukraine, is the most important thing whether or not the guy came across the southern border, or, you know, whether he's a Ukrainian refugee, because we all seem to want to welcome them with open arms, right? The pretty white people. Well, how is the war-torn nature of Ukraine any different than the, you know, narco war-torn plight of the Central Americans? And when you talk to even our Republican friends, I brought up the polling, the Marquette University polling from last week. Had Charles Franklin in your absence too, Fancy Brian, as is the custom, you know, when new polling drops. And 80% of Wisconsinites, and that's got to include a fair number of Republicans, that was about half the people polled, wanted to see a pathway for these people to be incorporated legally within our society. 64% of them thought there should be an amnesty, a citizenship extended. Another 16% said, well, if not citizenship, give them a green card. Let them work within the confines of the system. And when you hear employers all across the state of Wisconsin, all across the Midwest, all across this nation saying, there's not enough workers. Well, let's import some workers. I mean, why does this seem like such a far-flung solution? Why would I, you know, make a Trump DHS guy stutter with this concept that we come together and invite people in willingly, knowingly, you know, like we want them here. Come, my neighbor. I will treat you in a Christ-like fashion, you know, if you believe in such things. I know not everybody does, but it's still pretty good, you know, pretty good pathway for treating another human being. Treat them in a Christ-like fashion. You know, the least of thee. But that's not the way they are treated, not here in the state of Wisconsin. They're villainized, and they're villainized on Fox News, and they're villainized here by Republican politicians. And so when I hear some guy saying, oh, Joe Biden's the least popular with immigrants, well, I'm thinking that's not because Trump and the Republicans are more popular with immigrants. You know, maybe the immigrant populations don't feel like either of the two parties are serving their needs, because the two parties aren't coming together collaboratively and solving any sort of comprehensive immigration problems. You know, and if I was a young kid, if I was one of those kids marching out of high school, well, okay, I might be disappointed with the action, with the level of engagement from the Biden administration, but I certainly wouldn't be fired up to go support the Republicans. I mean, they literally hate these people for the color of their skin. And they're some of the hardest working, nicest human beings you ever want to meet, even by many Republicans' admission. Oh, all the immigrants I know, they're hardworking. I like them. Couldn't run the farm without them. Let's deport them. Come back, more devils.
I like to work, so that's not a problem. But this is actually more work.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Working on great. We'll work up to it. You could make it great. Join us on the phones. 844-967-2789. Bill from Oconomowoc. How you doing, Bill?
Great, Mike. Say, thanks for going after Fox. I actually was on Hannity's show, the radio show, myself going after him. Here's something on Fox that's kind of not interesting, but Fox peddles misinformation that's killing people, that's causing terrorist attacks. They deny it. But so how do we combat it other than, you know, maybe going on their show? Whatever. Here's one thing I'd love to see, and I'm good for kicking in a contribution on this. Let's put up a billboard somewhere in Wisconsin, Fox, the king of misinformation. Once people drive by that, and billboards are expensive. I know some people rented one. They're not cheap. But if we had that kind of marketing, the other people that are doing a great job, Lincoln Project with handling Fox, we got to go after.
Well, Bill, it looks like they. Oh, there you are, Bill. I thought they went after your phone call, man.
Well, they could. They could. But anyhow, I really like your frontal attack on Fox. And we got to amp it up. We got to amp it up and go after them and call them out. Offer to go on their show. I know I was surprised they let me on Hannity.
Well, they, I don't call them, Bill. They call me. You know, I don't get to invite myself on Foxy News. They decide occasionally, like you know, every couple months, it's time to give that lefty a beating. You know, he's always been compliant up to now. Never had the cojones to burn it down on live TV. But Bill, while I certainly take my objections with Foxy News, I think the real damage is being done right here on the state of Wisconsin level, Bill. I mean, we got 81 right-wing talk radio outfits in the state. I know I quote this statistical report quite often, but they're jamming out 235 hours a day of content all around the state of Wisconsin, all across the back of Russ Feingold's hand. And a lot of the content they're spewing, Bill, is your boy Hannity. Hannity goes out in 3 hours a day in damn near every media market in the state of Wisconsin, probably on one of the most powerful AMs in every corner of the state. I mean, that's how they do it. And so while I would no doubt agree that Fox News is a disinformation machine, I wish I could have said it to their face, but right-wing talk radio is just as bad or worse, and they have a much more... I think a much more tangible effect on local levels of engagement. I mean, they're Fox News in our backyard, Bill. So, anyways, that's my thought. Let's burn down local right-wing talk radio. Not literally burn it down, but rhetorically, call in and give them hell. Not that they take very many phone calls. You know, and I'm going to tell one last story on myself. Because that's what I do. You know, I got to fill some radio time. But I occasionally, Fancy Brian, you might know this, I occasionally screw up the courage. And, you know, if I get riled up enough, I'll call a right-wing talk radio product. Now, they could call us at 844-967-2789. You know, phone style this way as well. But I occasionally call up Brady Whitey Talk Radio. Normally, I'm Mike on a car phone. You know, something of the sort. And, you know... I got the phone in my own name, so it's not like I'm hiding from the caller ID. For those of you that try to troll us and give us false names, you know, we see your caller ID. We know when you've got your mom's cell phone. You know, we see it on the screen. So anyways, same way that Right Wing Talk Radio does when I call in. But I've gotten through a couple of times, and here's what I find very interesting, Fancy Brian. There are a lot of times where I've called and been the first caller, like, immediately. Like, nobody really calls them. Like, there's a possibility that Right Wing Talk Radio is really about hearing themselves speak, and they don't really, really want you to call. You know, so often I have to look up the phone number. They don't give it out like I do. 844-967-2789. Like, I just gave out the phone number. You could call it. But I'm not sure that Righty Whitey Talk Radio, I'm not sure that they, let's just say, want the dialogue fancy. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's interesting, because I would think that it's really hard to get through, because I know that callers...
You would think, you know, it's improbable that I was the only one listening to, let's say, Clan O'Donnell or something, calling into a show. But no, you call in and like 2 minutes later, you're on the air. Wow. And we've done that, you know, it depends on who it is. Because some people, I'll see them and I'll be like, oh, I like that person. We'll take that call. And then they're CJ, you know, and then they stew for a bit. But, you know, it's all in the fun of doing a little radio product. But I like stirring the pot. My only fear is I do it too well. When I troll the Right Wing Talk Radio audiences, oh, man, I can energize the phones for an hour or more. You know, I'm like the best thing. I'm like their ratings machine. I'm like the best thing that ever happened to Righty Whitey Talk Radio, man. So if we were going to do a billboard bill, and, you know, if you're in for a few bucks, I'm just saying let's start targeting the specific hosts that live right here in our backyard. Let's not forget Dan O'Donnell. I sometimes call him Clan O'Donnell. Gave invited testimony on the big lie to the elections, the Assembly Elections Committee. He was like the star witness for the conspiratorial. It's a guy that's an active right-wing talk radio host on Heartless Radio down the dial from us. And then there's the other one here that we directly compete with, not that you got to flip back and forth, but Icky Vicky, come on, man. She's the one out there pushing the Stop the Steal rallies with former Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. And then she brings in a couple of Trump attorneys. They've had that car doll in town. And they're the ones pushing for the Gableman. We've talked about the Gableman. We're going to talk about Gableman next hour. But the conspiracies, they're really being festered and created by Right Wing Talk Radio. Vicky is also the same one that said Wanakee Schools right up the road here. Oh, they were accommodating the furries in the district, the elementary school kids. If they didn't want to go to gym class, they, you know, just put on a sexual furry costume. And according to Right Wing Talk Radio host Vicky McKenna, well, they'd be excused from gym class and all sorts of academic pursuits. It's a real problem, according to Vicky. Now, I have also pointed out, I did see Vicky in public late last summer, I think it was. And Vicky gave me a hug. And, you know, I don't really care for hugs from Vicky. It's like getting a hug from Sean Hannity. No thanks. You know, even a bro hug with an arm in between. No thanks. No. But I got a hug from Vicky. And I did try to give her some good advice that day. I encouraged her to go out and get vaccinated. Or boosted, as the case may be. She hadn't even been vaccinated. No, I'm not going to do that, Mike. I'm just going to take my chances. And I'm like, Vicky, but what if you're wrong? I mean, not that that's ever happened to you before, but what if in this isolated incident, you just happen to be wrong on the facts? Could cost you your life. And then I stopped talking.
We never present ourselves as a free and open forum. I'm all about resist. I'm resist. This show is resist. We're not part of resist. This is not a Danocracy. This is a Dan Tater show.